You will find scripture reading this evening in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 25 through chapter 14, verse 38, page 154 through 156. Hear God's holy and infallible word. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Parah at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of Negev, the Hittites and Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are all well able to overcome it." Then the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night, and all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Then all the congregation set to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me, in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land, 'They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, 'It is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them, that he has killed them in the wilderness.' And now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, 'The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to thy greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now.' Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who have despised me shall see it, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully. I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Now since the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valleys, turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard their grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and all of your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb the son of Jephunne and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days a year for each day. You shall bear your iniquity for 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this will I do to all this wicked congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall come to a full end, and there they shall die. And the man whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing up a bad report about the land, the man who brought up a bad report of the land died by plague before the Lord. Of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive. So far, God's reading of his holy, infallible word. We'd like to consider this evening our topic, follow God fully. We'd like to focus on verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Again, the name of our theme is follow God fully. Two main thoughts this evening. What it means to follow God fully. And second, why are we to follow God's fully? Dear congregation, God's grace and mercy is amazingly displayed, amazingly seen in Scripture as he leads his people out of Egypt. And he leads them forward with a strong arm, as he promised, to the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan, the city where milk and honey flowed. Prior to entering this land, we read in Numbers chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, that God's people lived near Mount Sinai for about 1 year. It is there in that place that they are given two things. First, they are given the law. It is in that same place that they are also given the pattern by God to build that special tabernacle, which represented God's dwelling with them at all times. Aware of God's great deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, God's people, and all the miracles that God had given, they were aware of God's special care for them who led them through the desert, as we read in Scripture, in a pillar cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. yet they are still to continue to this place which God had promised them. They soon arrive to this place called Kadesh Barnea. It is a place, dear congregation, so near Canaan. A place you can almost say is at the borderline of the promised land. A land that they would inherit. It is as if they can smell their inheritance. They are so close. They can sense their home. They can sense that this is their land. Yet they must, by God's command given through Moses, spy out this land. So 12 men are chosen, one from each tribe. They are to give a report. They are to scout this place. They are to give this report that would answer, is it a strong, or are they strong or weak? Are they few or many? Is it a land that is good, or is it a land that is bad? They are to scout if the cities that dwell are camps or are strongholds. Whether the land is rich or whether it is poor. Whether there are trees in it or not. And as they go out to congregation to spy out the land for 40 days, they come back to the people of God to speak of what they have seen. All eyes are on them. All Israel is ready to hear what is this report. And here is what they say, according to Numbers chapter 13, verses 28 and 29. Oh, the land is good. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. However, we must say, the people are strong. And their cities are fortified. They're very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And this is the bad report that they give to the people of God. So then let us consider our first thought this evening. What it means to follow God fully. Dear congregation, we see it in the life of Caleb. What does it mean to follow God fully? First of all, follow God in times of opposition. After hearing such a bad report, we read that Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes. They tore their clothes. This was a sign of grief in their hearts. Their ears could not believe what they were hearing. They grieved at such a report. Unbelief was at the root of the heart. These men that gave this bad report, they had all been eyewitnesses of the many miracles that the Lord had brought them when He brought them out of Egypt, delivering them from the mighty hand of Pharaoh and his army. It is these men that are speaking of this bad report. They were eyewitnesses of the sea parting into the Red Sea so that they would pass in dry land. They were fed manna in the middle of the desert. They had been given water from a rock. They were eyewitnesses of a pillar of a cloud which led them in the day and a pillar of fire by night. And this is their report. They are strong. Their cities are fortified, and they are very large. And dear congregation, these are voices that God's people hear. These are the voices they hear. And as they hear these words, we read in Scripture that they raised a loud cry. They wept that night and grumbled against God. They grumbled against God. Why did you bring us out here to die at the edge of the promised land? Why did you not leave us in Egypt? Why were we not left in the wilderness? Why so close? Why will we die here? Desiring to choose a leader amongst them who would lead them back to Egypt. And dear church, we consider these voices, we hear these voices of rebellion even till our day. We live in a fallen world, in a society who daily lives to destroy the things of God. We are certainly, dear congregation, living in the last days. These voices continue to speak loud and clear, even by leaders of our nation. And as we continue to see these last days, we continue to see this world putting laws against biblical teachings of God's word. We see leaders who continue to sign laws. Laws such as a law to demand bathroom rights for transgender. I say, dear church, we must grieve. And we must pray as Caleb. We must follow God fully. You and I are called to follow God fully. We must grieve and pray and stand as Caleb. We must follow God fully. Listen to Caleb's words after he grieves. The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceeding good land. You notice that he speaks of God's goodness. He continues to say, if the Lord delights in us, look at the heart of Caleb. He's a man with a humble heart. If the Lord delights in us, he is a man with a humble heart. Caleb says, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Caleb highlights God's omnipotence, God's power overall. And this is how we are commanded to stand as Caleb, highlighting who God is. Caleb says, a land that flows with milk and honey. And he rebukes and he exhorts them and tells them, only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Well, these voices of unbelief within our days, dear congregation, are not only heard from the outside, but they are also heard within those who call themselves Christians. Just as in this time of Numbers chapter 14, there is rebellion. There is murmur, continues to be even with those that call themselves Christians. There is a recent book called Jesus Calling, which has sold more than 15 million copies and has generated a great interest within evangelicals. A pastor recently said that this is a book about experiencing the presence of God. Presence is always capitalized in this book. It is about growing closer in relationship to the Lord, something every Christian craves. This author uses presence to describe a very tangible feeling of God's presence. In a recent CNN blog, this author says, "I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible, but I yearned for more. I wanted to hear what God had said to me personally on a given day." In the article by Alan Miller on CNN's Belief blog entitled, "I'm Spiritual, Not Religious," he says, "This attitude fits with the message we are receiving more and more, that feeling something somehow is more pure and perhaps more true, listen to this, than having to fit in with the doctrine, practices, rules, and observations of a formal institution that are handed down to us." Our churches today don't have a problem with the inerrancy of Scripture or the infallibility of Scripture, but rather the sufficiency of Scripture. James Montgomery said this, that the real battle in our times would not be the inerrancy or infallibility of Scripture, but rather its sufficiency. Is the Bible sufficient for the church? He continues to say, are we going to rely on the Bible, or will we continually long for other revelation? In this book, we see this so clearly, that this author teaches that though the Bible is inerrant and infallible, it is insufficient. We need experiences. It was not enough for her. And implicitly, she teaches that it cannot be enough for us. After all, this pastor says it was not reading Scripture that proved her most important spiritual discipline, but this listening, this receiving of messages from the Lord directly. It is not Scripture she brings to us, not primarily anyway, but these messages from Jesus. And does not Peter, dear congregation, exhort us to seek and only hear God's word? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Dear congregation, we are to follow God fully. The Bible is not only sufficient, it's infallible, it's inerrant, but it's also all-sufficient, dear congregation. Follow God fully. Follow God fully in opposition, but also follow God fully in all our days. We are to follow God fully in all our days. Notice this from Scripture in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 through 12. It is Joshua that 40 years later, he comes. He comes and he says, "My brothers, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of that people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." It is Caleb coming at over 40 years. He's about 85 years old. And Caleb says, "And Moses swore to me on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot had trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness." It is Caleb who comes now at an older age. He continues to walk with the Lord. Oh, how precious it is, dear brothers, to continue to walk with the Lord. And so Caleb comes here. And he says, "Now behold, I am this day 85 years old." And what are his words? Is he a tired man? He says, no, I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. What words from Caleb. I am still as strong today as in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then. How many of us would be able to say the same words as Caleb at 85 years old, saying, I was as strong as when I was 40. These are the words of Caleb. This is a man who has followed God not only in opposition, but he continues to follow God in all his days. He says, my strength now is as is my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, he says, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him. And he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. This is what we read in Joshua chapter 14, verses 7 through 12. Because he had followed the Lord fully, the God of Israel. He was an older man who continued to follow the Lord. He had a passion for the Lord. He loved the Lord with all his heart, and he continued to serve him as a faithful servant. Let me ask you this evening, are you continuing to follow the Lord? He was the blessed man as described in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. That blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in the season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. A man that followed God with all his heart. Well, let us continue this evening to our second thought. Why are we to follow God fully? Read with me verses 22 and 23 of chapter 14. Verses 22. None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test, these 10 times have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despise me shall see it. Why are we to follow God fully? Dear congregation, here is a warning to heed and obey. God severely warns his people. In the book of the Pilgrim's Progress, there is a sobering chapter which is used to warn Christian in his walk with God. It is one of the most significant and one of the most intriguing rooms in the house of the interpreter, called the room with the iron cage. In this room, Christian sees a man locked in the iron cage. He appears to be a man who has lost all hope. A man who is sad, a man who is hands are folded with a downcast eyes and seems to have fallen into total despair. Well, interpreter does not openly explain the meaning of the lessons to Christian, but encourages Christian to ask him to speak with this man. So Christian questions the man, "What are you?" The man answered and said, I am what I was not once. Christian asks him, what were you once? And he answers, I was once a fair and flourishing professor, both in my own eyes and also in the eyes of others. I once was, as I thought, fair for the celestial city, and had even joy at the thoughts that I should get there. Well, Christians ask him, well, what are you now? Why are you in such a cage as this? And he answers, I am now a man of despair. And I'm shut up in this iron cage. I cannot get out. I cannot. Christian says, but how did you come into this condition? He answers, I left off to watch and be sober. I laid the reins upon the neck of my lust. I sinned against the light of the word and the goodness of God. I have grieved the Spirit, and he is gone. I tempted the devil, and he has come to me. I have provoked God to anger, and he has left me. I have so hardened my heart that I cannot repent. After Christian sees that he has no hope of escape, Christian asks, why? The Son of the Blessed is very pitiful. Why? He answers, I have crucified him to myself afresh. I have despised his person. I have despised his righteousness. I have counted his blood an unholy thing. I have done despite to the Spirit of grace. Therefore, I have shut myself out of all the promises. And there now remains to me nothing but threatenings, dreadful threatenings, fearful threatenings of certain judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour me as an adversary. Christians ask him, well, why did you bring yourself into this condition? He says, for the lust, for pleasures, and profits of this world, in the enjoyment of which I did then promise myself much delight. But now every one of those things also bite me and gnaw me like a burning worm. And Christian says, will you not repent? Will you not turn? And his answer is, God has denied me repentance. His word gives me no encouragement to believe. Yea, himself has shut me up in this iron cage. Nor can all the man in the world let me out. Oh, eternity, eternity. This is what the man in the iron cage says. How shall I grapple with the misery that I must meet within eternity? Then interpreter said to Christian, let this man's misery be remembered by you and be an everlasting caution to you. Christian said, this is fearful. God help me to watch and be sober and to pray that I may shun the cause of this man's misery. Dear church, why? That you and I may be warned this evening. Let your soul be warned, dear Christian friend. Have you, as the people of Israel, not seen God's glory? Have you, as the people of Israel, not seen the great salvation in your soul? Have you not seen the beauty of repentance? How it has drawn you to Christ, granted by God. Have you not seen the beauty of the miracle of regeneration within the heart of your soul? The people of God saw many miracles. Yet we see in Scripture that they murmured, that they were in unbelief. May I ask you this evening, do you continue to tempt God? We are called, dear congregation, to follow God fully. But our text this evening also tells us why we are to follow God fully. Read with me verses 28 through 37. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all of your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who have grumbled against me. Not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, listen, dear church, who you said would become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness. According to the number of these days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. A year for each day you shall bear your iniquity, 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this will I do to all this wicked generation who are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall come to a full end, and there they shall die. Dear congregation, what a judgment of God. These are the men and women who cried out loud, who despised God and rejected God, and wanted another leader. They will soon die in the desert. None of them will see the promised land. But what about these two men? What about these 10 men? Well, verse 36 tells us, and the man whom Moses sent out to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation grumbled against him by bringing up a bad report about the land. The man who brought up a bad report of the land died by plague before the Lord. Here's judgment that comes. The justice of God comes not only to the people of Israel, but also to these 10 men. And to them it comes at that time. The people of God see what happens to these 10 men. It is judgment that comes upon them. But dear congregation, why are we to follow God? Well, we also see a blessing. And we see that in verse 20, 21. As you read with me. But truly as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Dear congregation, what a precious text. Truly as I live, says the Lord, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. This verse clearly points to Christ who would come later in the flesh. This is God's great purpose. This is God's great work of redemption from the beginning. The great promise from Genesis 3:15. All the glory shall be filled. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And what a blessing, dear congregation, that as we look back, we can see how Christ is fulfilled in this text. Also, we see the psalmist speak of this in Psalm 72, verse 19. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And this is a blessing. It is a blessing for Caleb and for his family as they enter this land, a temporary place which would speak of heaven, which would speak of Jesus being the pathway to the Father, of that celestial city. It is the place of happiness, which speaks of revelation. It is the happy life. And it is a blessing to be expected. But without a doubt, following God fully is the happy life to live. You've seen in your own life, when you followed God fully, you were the happiest man in the world. There was a satisfaction within your heart when you followed God fully, when you sinned and when you fell. Those are the times you felt most miserable. Well, this is the way to die. This is the way to live, following God fully. Well, maybe you are a new visitor today, and you are unfamiliar with the story of redemption. You are unfamiliar of God's people coming out of Egypt, even unfamiliar with the city of Canaan, the land of Canaan. Well, let me say to you this evening that this is a special story for all who know of redemption in their soul. It speaks of every believer, of how God has drawn us out of Egypt. It was a place promised to God's people. A place of where milk and honey flowed, meaning that it would be a fruitful, that it would be a blessing place. In fact, this is what it meant to them. You may not know what it means, dear friend. Well, you may. May I say to you this evening, we have all drifted from, because of our first sin, we have all drifted away from God. We have lost the inheritance that was ours in the Garden of Eden. Yet it is amazing that God did not leave us on our own. In fact, we see a great promise found in Genesis 3:15, fulfilled in Christ, which promise a victory coming from the seed of the woman. You see, and when God calls Abraham, it is in this covenant which this promise would be fulfilled. He promised Abraham's descendants an inheritance, a place of rest, a place of much blessing known as the city of Canaan. Although it was a temporary inheritance, it was a type and a pledge of the spiritual blessing every Christian obtains and enjoys in by Christ alone. Dear congregation, this is the greater Caleb, Jesus Christ. This is the greater Caleb, Jesus Christ, who lived a life fully to the glory of our God the Father, not once committing a sin of commission or even a sin of omission. He was fully obedient, Scripture says, until death. And the death of the cross. It is because of Christ's obedience, life, and death at the cross that he has satisfied the wrath of the Father that you and I should have paid, my dear friend, for sinners such as you and I. The Lord calls you to turn and to repent. He calls you to live a life fully for his glory. He says, all who come to me, I in no wise will cast out. I pray that you would come to him. I pray that you would know this glorious Savior. Will you take hold of his righteousness? Are you following God fully? Dear congregation, are you following God fully? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. It is a lamp unto our feet and continues, Father, to be sufficient to our depraved heart. Be sufficient, Lord, in every aspect of our life. And we thank you, Lord, that we can continue to look to Jesus, Father, to look to this faithful Savior who is the greater Caleb, who has fully lived a life that glorified you, We look to Christ alone for our righteousness, and we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou continues to work in our midst. Father, we pray that we would be a people who would follow You more fully each day. I pray that You would continue to raise, Father, many Calebs, many men and women out there, Lord, who would live for Thy glory, fully obeying You and hearing Thy precious truths. We pray, Lord, that You would draw us to You each more each day. We pray this with the pardon of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.